Last Tuesday, I still have not written anything. I knew already what the passage would be. And then sometime early evening, I received an email from Kathy asking what the scripture was and what the title of the message will be. And right after I read that email, Pastor Stacy was texting me. What's the scripture? And what will be the title? I have not written anything, but the first thing that popped up to my mind, Felicitas est parvus canis callidus. I know. Maybe some of you think I'm trying to impress you with my knowledge of Latin. Actually, I know only a few Latin words and phrases. But those of you who love and follow the comic strip Peanuts would know that the phrase means happiness is a warm puppy, a reference to Snoopy, Charlie Brown's adorable dog. And the word in Greek used for dogs in the passage we just read actually translates as little dogs, puppies. But we are getting ahead of our story. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, happiness is gathering together in your house, encountering your word, and being blessed by the experience. Bless us with your presence, we pray. Open our ears that we may hear you. Open our eyes that we may see you. Open our hearts that we may love you more. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. How does that nursery rhyme go? What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice, that's what little girls are made of. I'm not sure there was sugar around first century Israel or the region of Syrophoenicia, or if that nursery rhyme was part of the culture then. But even if it were, a nursery rhyme would have been farthest on that woman's mind in our story this morning. Everything nice would not describe her little girl anymore. Her daughter was tormented by a demon. I am sure she had tried everything, like any mother would. She prayed long and hard, and even offered sacrifices to her gods and her idols, all to no avail. Then she learned that a rabbi named Jesus from Galilee was in town. She had heard that this Jesus was a worker of wonders. He fed a multitude. He made the lame to walk and the blind to see. He cleansed lepers and he drove out demons. Yes, this Jesus was a Jew. She was a Canaanite. Their peoples had been enemies since time immemorial. But her daughter needed help. And she would get that help any way she can. So, as soon as she found Jesus, she came near him and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." In order to describe Jesus' encounters with his critics, Bible scholars use the term controversy narratives. These narratives all seem to follow a familiar pattern. Some religious leaders would confront Jesus about something they considered important to them, a passage from scriptures or an item in the Mosaic law. Jesus responds by throwing their criticisms back at them or by narrating a parable that exposes their hypocrisy and the bankruptcy of their false spirituality. Just before the passage we read, the Pharisees and the scribes accused Jesus' followers of breaking the tradition of elders when they did not wash their hands before eating. Jesus, in turn, flung their accusation back at them by asking why they were breaking God's commandments for the sake of their traditions. Then, in the opening verses of our gospel lesson, he called the crowd to him and told them, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth." And when Peter and his friends told him that this offended the Pharisees, he told them to ignore them, for they were blind guides of the blind. And when a blind person guided another, both will fall into a pit. Pharisees, you see, were sticklers to details, especially when it came to their purity laws, what one can eat, what one cannot, what defiles, and what does not. And when he said what goes into the mouth is not what defiles, Jesus just threw out the Pharisees' centuries-old interpretation of the law. We love that Jesus was always on the winning side of these controversy stories. We love that, especially, that when it came to the poor, the sick, the weak, the outcast, the powerless, and the marginalized, Jesus was all grace and compassion. We love that the Jesus we have come to know in the Gospels was the champion of the underdog, pun intended. Yet, it appears that in the second half of our story, we find Jesus on the wrong side of the conversation. As one theologian put it, in this story, Jesus is caught with his compassion down. Now, it is important to pause here and consider how the woman approached Jesus. She called him Lord, Son of David. Here is a Canaanite, a Gentile, ascribing to Jesus a uniquely Jewish title not even the religious leaders of the Jews ever considered regarding him. But he ignored her completely. Then when his disciples urged him to send her away, he seemed to agree with them when he said he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here it seems to me as if he were telling her, "Woman, I know what you're doing. You're trying to flatter me with titles into giving you what you want. It will not work. You are a Gentile. I was sent only to the Jews." But the woman persisted and knelt before him, a sign of complete and utter surrender. And kneeling before him, she said, "Lord, help me." His response, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." There are those who would point out that the Greek term used, kunarios, meant little dogs. Puppies, they say. And puppies are adorable, aren't they? They suggest Jesus calling the woman a dog was not too rude after all. But dogs in the first century were not considered the way we consider them today. There were no dog shows then, no Jerusalem Kennel Club, no Tyre and Sidon dog grooming salon. There were no Snoopies, no Scooby-Doos, no Jacksons, Mimi, no Captains for Pastor Stacy, nor Parkers either. All dogs in those days were just dogs. They were dirty. They were mangy. They just roamed the streets scavenging for food. Maybe some Gentile families allowed them to hang around the house, but to the Jews, they were not a lot better than pigs. Jesus called the woman begging for help. Help not for herself, but for another. Help for a voiceless and demon-tormented little girl. He called the woman a dog. And by extension, he called that innocent little girl a dog as well. This is not the Jesus who just a few chapters ago in chapter 11, verse 28, said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." No, this is not the Jesus many of us are familiar with. This beggar, ignoring, woman, insulting, Jews only allowed Jesus of Matthew chapter 15 seems light years removed from the Sermon on the Mount preaching, "Blessed are the poor and the meek and the merciful," Jesus of Matthew chapter 5. This is not your father's Jesus. This is not our gentle Jesus. I think this story bothers many of us. I think it makes us feel uncomfortable. I believe it bothers us because it pricks our conscience. It reminds us not only of our individual failings, but also of our collective and systemic prejudices. It bothers us because it reminds us not only of that homeless beggar at the freeway on-ramp that we ignore every time, or those whom we have unfriended from our Facebook circle because their political views were different from ours. But more so, it bothers us because it reminds us of the inequities in our system of justice, the increasing incivility in our public discourse, the dehumanization of everything we consider foreign or other, and the racism that never really went away and have now seemed to find welcome even in the highest corridors of power, in church and in society. But most of all, it bothers us because except for that last part, this conversation between Jesus and the Canaanite woman is, how should I say it, so un-Christian. And here's the rub, the one we find so un-Christian in our story is Christ himself. Did I just say that? An unchristian Christ? But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Brothers and sisters, if all we have been looking for in this story is the Jesus we are all comfortable with, then I submit that we have missed the most important part of the drama. What we have in this story is not a Christian Jesus. What we have here is the fully human yet fully divine Jesus. Fully human in that he had to wrestle with the cultural baggage of the time and place he grew up in, yet fully divine that when he was confronted by a completely unworthy yet persistent and humble Gentile woman, he surprised her with the extravagance of his boundless grace. Her daughter was healed instantly. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And with those words, the gates to the kingdom of God were opened wide for all the world to enter in. Amen.